So bring in Pierre Maguire. As always, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Pierre?
Yeah, and Spencer Knight start to finish.
Oh,
too.
There we go.
Oh, oh, that's it. And we know you're now American, Pierre. We are not Canadian. We just want to get that
on
record.
I didn't know you were Russian.
Good point by you, Pierre. And by the way, Russia-USA is the very first game in primetime on Christmas
Correct.
Night. If you want something to look forward
yes,
to.
Yes, so. I'll be watching with wide eyes and a bushy tail.
There you go.
All that being said, yes, you know, the World Juniors is always an exciting thing. I know it's probably a little bit larger on the Canadian side of the border anyways, but I would just tell you that it's starting to grow in the United States as well. And, you know, people have tried to grow the brand down here, the World Junior brand, different people on the air or whatever, and people realize just how good the tournament is and how great the players are. I think it's one of the real special moments of the hockey season. I really do.
Well, I know when TSN has a half-hour special, when they unveil the schedule like they did last night, that's when they start doing that, Pierre, on the NBC Sports Network or something like that, then we'll know it's really hit. But on
well,
that,
can I just interrupt you
yeah.
there? NBC has tried to actually get the brand. And, you know, it's been purchased by the NHL Network. So NBC's actually tried to buy it. So just so you're aware.
It's okay.
So I think that's an important thing for people to understand. The people, the hockey decision makers at NBC really understand the relevance of the tournament, and they really, if you study what TSN did over time to build the brand of the tournament, the one thing they did that was just so smart, and this went back to Keith Pelley and Rick Chisholm and now, you know, Paul Graham and Stu Johnson and Mark Milliere when he was at it, is they sell stars. They show the people the road these young players took to get to where they are, and how that will affect the future of hockey at the NHL level. And I think it was really a smart branding decision and how they do it, and they spent tons of time and money doing it. But you got to give a lot of credit to the people at TSN. They're the ones that built this tournament. They
yeah,
really are.
Went to my first one attending to scout in 96, and I was actually embarrassed for the U.S., Pierre. That was in Boston.
Uh-huh.
I remember Chris Drury and that group showed up at the end of the tournament in blue jeans. They looked like a ragged bunch. But USA Hockey, more importantly, boy, with the development programs, they've created a ton of pride for the athletes where it's a big deal now to play in it, which, you know, for the people, hey, it's never going to be like it is in Canada, but that's been really important, right?
One of the best sound bites ever, because I think it really got everybody's attention, including USA Hockey, was that tournament you're alluding to that was in Worcester and Boston and Springfield, Massachusetts. The coach for the American team is a legendary coach, Jack Parker, yeah. out of Boston University. And at the end of the tournament, he said, I had no idea how big this tournament was before he got involved. I mean, that just shows you how times have changed. And I think USA Hockey saw that, and they said, whoa, this is a legendary coach. It really wasn't up to speed in terms of understanding the power of the tournament. And they started to change. And I can tell you, I'll never forget this, when I started doing the tournament with Gord Miller back in 2003 in Halifax, how big it became for the Americans. That New Year's Eve game between Canada and the United States was just a gigantic moment for them. And, you know, they had players like Ryan Suter and Zach Parise and Christopher Higgins back in those days, and those players felt that that was their gold medal game if they could beat Canada in Canada. And it just took off from there. And then the next year, Mike Eaves and John Hines were coaching the team, and it's the first time the Americans ever won was 2004 in Helsinki. Against Canada, and that was Marc-Andre Fleury, and that was a super team for Canada. They were all young, too. And then the next year, they just went on to steamroll everybody in 2005 in Grand Forks.
For the sake of discussion, let's say that NHL training camps are not set to begin until after the World Juniors is over. Bob McKenzie was saying last night that at this point, he doesn't believe that Alexis Lafreniere would suit up for Canada, kind of have been there, done that, been there for 2 years. And also the three guys that played full-time in the NHL last year, Jack Hughes, Kaapo Kakko, and Kirby Dach would also probably not play. What do you think about that philosophy of NHL teams, and Lafreniere aside, of kind of going, well, you're an NHL player now. You don't belong at the World Juniors anymore. What do you think about that?
You know what? I totally understand and back Bob on that. I think that if you're Tommy Fitzgerald, the new general manager in New Jersey, you need Hughes focused in on an NHL season. What happens with the World Junior? More times than not, especially when it's played on foreign soil, and I'm not saying Canada and the U.S., that's foreign soil. I'm talking about when it's in Europe with a huge time zone travel. Players come back from that event, and they're usually 2 or 3 weeks behind. They're just out of gas mentally and physically. If you're New Jersey and you're Tommy Fitzgerald and you want to get out of the gate quickly, you don't want your player playing at the World Junior if he's going to be one of your top two centers, because it's going to take a huge amount of time. And I have to believe, even though I know the league saying they want to play an 82-game schedule, I still think that that's a reach. I think a lot of people in the business think that's a reach. And so you're probably going to have a sprint to the finish line, and you need all hands on deck. So if you have upper echelon players that are young, like Hughes, like Capo Cackle, like Alexis Lafreniere, you're going to want those guys fresh and ready to play. So I would say, with all due respect to the World Junior, those guys don't really need that at this time in their development.
Yeah, and Pierre, and most times I agree with you, in a system of, first of all, Cackle and Hughes, I think Cackle had a terrible year. Hughes pretty darn close. After sitting out almost a year of hockey, I think it would be absolutely ridiculous to have them stay home and practice and not send them where, hey, go play against the best of your peer group, come out of there with some confidence and get rocking and rolling. And I'd say the same thing for Byfield.
Well, we didn't mention Byfield.
But do you know what I mean with those two guys? Yeah. Wouldn't you handle it that way with Cackle and Hughes?
I personally would not, and reason why I'm saying that is because it's a different thing. I think for Cackle, there's going to be internal competition for him with Lafreniere. He's always going to be compared to him.
Yeah.
And I think mentally that's going to be a big hurdle for him to have to get over. And him going to play at the World Junior, I don't know if that's going to help him do that. I think being in the group, which is his current peer group, NHL players, I think is better. I totally understand your point, and in any other year, I would say that's probably relevant. But if it's going to be a drag race to finish, and you're going to lose a player for 2 to 3 weeks mentally and physically just because of the fatigue factor, I'm not sure that's the best thing for them.
Yeah, hey, everyone decides different. I think those groups are very pro-American, so they're trying to hurt Canada. But anyways, different story. but Pierre, what? Under the hood, though, was there some real disappointment in Cackle last year? Because it wasn't talked about a lot, but I got the sense that they were kind of a little disappointed with not only his play, but I kept hearing that word that he was very stubborn as a teenager last year.
I don't know about stubborn. I think frustrated. I think frustrated just because the results weren't there out of the gate, and I think frustrated that it's a little bit like, I can tell you, when we had Jaromir Jagr as a group in Pittsburgh, even though he had a great rookie year, there was frustration. He's not used to not being on the number one power play. He's not used to not being on the number one line. You know, guys like Mark Recchi and Kevin Stevens were playing ahead of him, and you can understand why if you were coaching or part of the management team, but if you're a player at 18, you don't understand, and that's one of the reasons why. Just to put it into perspective on Sean's point, which is a valid one, we had to trade for Yuri Herdina to Calgary. We made a deal with Calgary to get Yuri Herdina so he could explain to Jaromir Jagr the rules of the road in the NHL. And one of the players that Jaromir grew up really respecting was Yuri Herdina. That's why we did it. And it really helped. And eventually you just saw Jaromir surge. And I think Capo Cackle, the second half of the year, got better, and he deserves credit for that. But there are other parts to him that I don't think get enough attention. He's got health issues. You know, he's got celiac disease. He's got eating issues that he has to adjust to. And I think that's a big jump for an 18-year-old to have to go not only from a different country but come to Manhattan, play for a Rangers team that's really starting to build and I think it's going to be elite, but also have to deal with health issues that I don't think got nearly as much attention as maybe they should have going into the draft.
Timmy Stützle is unsigned. We'll assume that he's signed by the Sens by then. Now, he played last year for Germany. Do you think that he should go play at the World Juniors?
No, I think I don't know if he will. I don't know if his representatives would want that. I don't know if Ottawa
If he's signed by Ottawa at that stage.
If he's signed by Ottawa, yes. I wouldn't do that. I want him playing in Ottawa. I just think he's an NHL player. I said that. I'm not going to change. I think he's a ready-made NHL player. I think Ottawa did very well. I think I'm going to say it again, not because I'm on Ottawa radio. I say it in Toronto. I say it in Montreal. I say it all over NHL. I think Ottawa stole the draft day, and they deserve a ton of credit for it, and Stützle was a big part of it.
Wouldn't, though, Stützle, and I know you've also mentioned in the past, I'll leave out the other guys that have played in the NHL, but in the case of he and Byfield, neither has dominated a World Junior, mentioned many times, and I know time-wise, if a training camp's already open, it's a decision, but if training camp's not open until either the new year, Pierre, wouldn't you want both of those guys to go there and dominate and feel like, you know what, I played myself out of my peer group and then headed into training camp?
That's a very fair question and really good point. On Byfield, I would say yes. On Stützle, I would say no. Byfield's played junior hockey and done very well, obviously, with Sudbury in the OHL, but at the World Junior level last year, I think even he would admit was disappointing. But that sometimes it's such a fast tournament, Sean, as you know, if it starts to roll downhill on you in a hurry, it's hard to get it back uphill. It really is. So I think that's one of the things. But I could see if Los Angeles wanted to do that, that'd be great. But I think in Ottawa's case, with Stützle, he has gone to a World Junior. He's done pretty darn well at a World Junior. I don't know what more there is. But again, not everybody's got their own opinion on it. I think if he's a signed player, you'd want him in camp.
Pierre, I saw a theory for it, and you were at the tournament in 2005 when all the players were there because of the NHL lockout, and that 2003 draft is, if not the deepest draft, first round in NHL history, pretty darn close. That part of the reason that that draft class has ended up doing so well over the years is that none of those players ended up getting hurried into the National Hockey League ahead of schedule. They Patrice Bergeron aside, played as an 18-year-old, but by and large, they developed kind of on a regular curve. Is there anything to that, or was that 03 group just a special group?
Nope. There's a lot to that. And I think the biggest thing, again, is they didn't get rushed in. One of the interesting parts of that World Junior selection was watching different players elevate in Winnipeg, where a training camp was, and then all of a sudden, on the last day, Corey Perry's touch and go to make the team, and Wayne Gretzky's aware of it, and it just shows you just how important it was for a player like that. Gretzky called up Gord Miller and asked Gord to give the phone to Corey Perry, and Corey came up into the stands and talked to Gretzky, and he said, "Your job is to score. It's not to do anything else. Go out there and score, and you're going to make the team." And I think he might have had two or three goals in that last pre-tournament game, and he made the team, and he played on a line with Bergeron and Crosby, and that line was phenomenal. But my point is on this whole thing, those guys weren't rushed. Who knows? If Corey Perry and Anaheim is playing, maybe Getzlaff and Perry are playing in Anaheim, and they're not playing World Junior, and they don't turn out to be as good as everybody wanted them to be. So I think that extra time, it helped a player like Dion Phaneuf. It definitely helped a player like Shea Weber. You can go down the line. It helped Mike Richards a ton. It helped Jeff Carter a ton. Guys were part of that team. I mean, so I would say that there is a lot. And by the way, that philosophy, I think, was created one night very late with Bob, Gord, myself, Kevin Lowe, Wayne Gretzky in Grand Forks. So, yeah, that philosophy was created late night after a game.
Yeah, and also, too, that year, I think even a little bit more confirmation, Pierre, would have been the group that played in the American League for that full year. Guys not going up and down. Guys not wondering when they're being called up. And I remember one of the first things I said in Toronto, boy, we should take Pominville on waivers. I remember watching him and Vanek and Roy play together. And how many lines and goalies and combinations played that full year in the AHL that went on to have real nice careers as well?
I totally agree. And that's such a valid point. And again, you look at that when Pominville and Vanek and Roy came up and played in Buffalo for Lindy Ruff, they were a ready-made line because of the time they spent in the American Hockey League. That's so bang on.
Miller was the goaltender, too.
Yeah,
right?
Ryan Miller down in Rochester with the Americans was there, and yeah, now you're right on.
Pierre, why hasn't Mike Hoffman been signed yet, even to a one-year deal by somebody?
There's two guys. I've been telling you this. I can't understand Sammy Vatanen, and I can't understand Mike Hoffman. Either their demands are too extreme, or there's red flags that I'm not aware of. Obviously, everybody knows the Hoffman situation from Ottawa, but I don't know how much weight that carries down the road if he's not going to play in San Jose. But I would tell you this. I talked to a very, very high-profile agent yesterday about Vatanen because I can't understand it. I'm seeing defensemen that are getting signed that are nowhere in the same category as him, and the agent said, "I'd love to hear what his demands are," because that's got to be what it is. And this goes back to what we've been talking about for a very long time now, is the business of hockey has changed. There's no question the business of hockey has changed for now. And once we get back on track and fans are back in the building and the revenue streams start to flow, then maybe we're going to see different kinds of contracts that we're more used to. But right now, you got to be really, really careful with your demands if you're an agent representing a player.
Yeah, I can feel the Hoffman one, Pierre, both on and off the ice. You're not looking at it and saying, wow, this guy's going to score some goals. What else does he bring? But in the case of Antonin, and I look at Ottawa, and they've said to still be active, would you see him as a fit for the Ottawa Senators?
I see him as a fit for a lot of teams, not just Ottawa. I mean, he's a right-shot defenseman who can really skate. I know him personally. I know where he's from in Jyväskylä, Finland. He's just a really normal, down-to-earth guy, hard worker, really industrious, very good teammate. you know, New Jersey traded him only because they knew his contract was coming up and they tried to get as many picks as they could. But I would just tell you that, you know, and then he got injured in Carolina, which was bad luck for Carolina and bad luck for him. But he could play on any team in the league. And I don't know if it's just because, you know, he's out of sight, out of mind, but he's the one that I still can't understand how he's not.
Ottawa traded for Gudbranson and Josh Brown, both of whom bring a lot of toughness to the table. I'm not saying that, but my point is, do you see, and last year Zaitsev and Shabbat, that combo didn't work, and Simmers made the point a lot this offseason of they need to find some, they're putting $8 million a year into Shabbat, get somebody who can play with him. Is Sammy Vatanen a type of player who could play well with him?
He would definitely fit with a player like that, no question about it. Sammy's used to playing with high-profile players. Sammy's used to playing high-profile minutes. He's just a very – Sean, you know his body of work. He's a really, really good player.
All right. Well, the town he's from in Finland, the big training facility, I know that much, but I don't know much about him.
Yeah. All I know is that you need
one of the best pizza parlors outside a rink in middle Finland is in Jyväskylä.
And I wanted to confirm when it came to Jágr, one thing I can confirm firsthand, this isn't secondhand knowledge. He and Straka at Rod Woodson's Sports Bar post-game rocked a mean Pac-Man. They were on the Pac-Man game there, Pierre, for hours at a time.
I'll never forget going over to the Checo once and... Jaromir, I don't know, had just gotten into the pub business. I think he had some friends of his from his town, from Kladno, running it and going in there. And there were some of those video machines, but I just didn't know which ones they were. But now you're telling me.
That hotel was also famous with the Scouts because they have a live sex show.
Now stop.
No, they did, actually. I'm being quite honest.
How do you write that one off to David Poyle?
Well, I never attended. I'm just telling you. The Scouts loved it.
I can tell you, JR, with a clear conscience, I don't know what he's talking about.
And I believe you. All right. On that note, we'll let you go, and we'll chat again tomorrow. Thanks for the time this morning.
I look forward to it. Have a good day, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.